reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to chapter 2, verse 3. And that's on page 3 of the Church Bibles. So that's Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And the second reading is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. And that's on page 977 of the Church Bibles. So that's Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
According to Wikipedia, which is the go-to place for sermon illustrations these days, isn't it? A soldier in the British Army will carry anything between 20 kilograms and 45 kilograms of kit in their rucksack. Just think about how many bags of sugar that is. Imagine having spent the day patrolling the 45-degree Afghanistan desert. Can you imagine the glorious feeling of walking back into camp and taking that rucksack off? What freedom. What a heavy burden removed. What joy. You'll know the feeling, not quite like that, but there'll be similar ones in your own life. You know, the feeling you get when the big project at work is finally completed. Done. Perhaps it's when the essays are handed in or the exams are over. Or perhaps it's just 7 o'clock and the kids are asleep. Maybe it's Friday night, 7 o'clock, and it's wine time. Burden gone. Joy. You know, I think that feeling of freedom, of burden lifted, is kind of the feeling you're supposed to get when you read Matthew 11 and you come to Jesus' invitation. Do you look at it with me in verse 27? "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's a wonderful invitation, and it's an invitation where the Son invites us to rest in him. The Son invites us to rest in him. And firstly, it's an invitation to the weary and the burdened. I wonder what burden you feel most. I wonder what stops you sleeping at night. Perhaps you feel the burden of worries and concerns that weigh you down. Exams looming on the horizon, a lack of jobs, elderly relatives, uncertain future, close family, friends, the kids. Is that your burden that you feel? Many of us live with the burden of the expectation of others. Do you ever feel like a bit of a failure compared to those around you? Perhaps compared to those in the office who just seem so competent, or perhaps compared to the other mums at the school gate or at the NCT class who just seem so sorted, and you just feel like a mess. It's the burden of the expectation of others. And of course, at the heart of that burden is the burden of just not feeling good enough. I guess most of us know how that goes in the Christian life, don't we? We desperately want to live in a way that honours God, but it just seems so hard. You just don't seem to be able to do it. You know, you want to wake up first thing in the morning and read your Bible and pray, but you wake up late and you've got to get to work and there's no time. You want to be patient with the kids, but they're just so difficult. You really want to think pure thoughts, but your eyes just wander. You really want to talk to people about Jesus, but you just bottle it every time. Or when you do speak, it just comes out all wrong. It's the burden of not feeling good enough. That burden often leads to another burden, doesn't it? And it's the burden of guilt. Perhaps it's that nagging sense, that nagging background sense of guilt. Or perhaps it's for you like the student who, in her first week of university, uncharacteristically drank too much and ended up sleeping with a boy on a corridor. And now she wonders whether she can ever face God again. You know, I think it's the burdens of guilt and not feeling good enough that would probably most resonate with the people that Jesus originally gave this invitation to. The Jews were a burdened people. The rules that the Pharisees made them live under were harsh and oppressive. Later on in Matthew, Jesus says this about the Pharisees. He says, "They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." You could almost say that the Pharisees were cruel. They demanded standards of God's people that they were never going to be able to keep, that not even God's law required. You see an example of that actually in chapter 12 of Matthew, as you see Jesus' dealings with the Pharisees. And they try and force Jesus and his disciples to apply the Sabbath commandment in a way that was never intended. The people were burdens. They just weren't able to keep the rules. They weren't good enough. The rules were a burden. They were a constant reminder of their failure and therefore their guilt. And so to a people like that, Jesus says to them, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's an invitation to the weary and burdened. Secondly, it's an invitation to come to the Son. Do you notice that verse again? "Come to me," Jesus says, "all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It says who Jesus is that enables him to give this invitation. Look at verse 27. "All things have been committed to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." See, Jesus, the Son, is the only one to know, to really know God the Father. And wonderfully, Jesus' invitation here is to come to him so that we too might know the Father. Religion is about doing, isn't it? Say your prayers, offer your gifts to the gods, live a good life, fast, perhaps give away your money. And then perhaps if you've been good enough, then you might get to heaven, paradise, nirvana. You do good, you get to God's. But even then, you can't know him, her, it, them. They are distant gods that either bless or curse, depending on how you've lived. And of course, the problem with religion is, how do you know when you've done enough? You don't. You can always do more. You can always pray more, give more, live better. You see, the burden of religion always remains hanging over us. But Jesus doesn't say, do. He says, come. He says, come. To those weary and burdened by the slavery of religion, Jesus says, come. Come to me and know. And know your Heavenly Father. You see, the solution to our burdens is not in a philosophy, a self-help program, a way of life, or an organized diary. That's the middle-class solution, isn't it? It's in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. And through him, knowing the Father. It's an invitation to the weary and burdened. It's an invitation to come to the Son. And it's an invitation to rest. I wonder what your perfect rest looks like. Just try and picture it for a moment. I'll tell you mine. Mine's a villa in a hot, sunny country, sat next to an affinity pool, looking out over the sea in the distance, just me and my wife, Jane. Kids are with the grandparents. A good book, fine food, lovely wine, and probably Sky Sports. And the one thing that is not in my picture of rest is work, as much as I love my job, and I really do love it. See, I bet that's true for all of us, and our perfect picture of rest does not involve work. But the trouble is, when Jesus talks about rest here, a work-free holiday is not quite what he's got in mind. You may have noticed in the reading from Genesis that, unlike all the other days, the seventh day doesn't end. You ever noticed that before? Every other day, morning, evening. Seventh day never ends. And that's because the seventh day is a picture. It's a picture of what eternal rest will look like. You see, when Jesus makes this invitation, when he gives this invitation, he is inviting us to enjoy that seventh day rest. Creation as it was meant to be. God's people enjoying all the blessings of knowing God the Father. Like Adam and Eve in Eden, God is with them, with us, walking in the garden. You see, the rest that Jesus invites us to in Matthew 11 is not a holiday free from work. We will work in the new creation, but it is an invitation to rest from the labor of religion, to be relieved of its burden, and to know God. Rest in the Bible is primarily a future thing. But what one day will be fully realized in the new creation, we will experience in part now. And so to those of us burdened by not feeling good enough, Jesus says, come to me and find rest. You see, we will never be good enough, will we? We are bound to fail. But the invitation to come is to come to the one who didn't fail. The Son of God, who on the cross took the penalty that we deserved for our failure, that we might truly know our Heavenly Father and enjoy him forever. The perfect Son dying for the imperfect, that we might be declared to be like him. To those burdened by guilt, Jesus says, come to me and find rest. Looking forward to life with Jesus the Son, God says through Jeremiah, for I will be merciful towards their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. So Jesus has dealt with our guilt and nailed it to a cross. If you're a Christian here this evening, you are made new in Christ, declared not guilty. So if God doesn't hold your sin against you, then why do you hold it against yourself. To those burdened by the expectations of others, Jesus says, come to me and find rest. You see, as our eyes are opened to see what Jesus thinks of us, we're freed from the burden of caring what others think of us. Because we no longer need to prove ourselves to our work colleagues or to the other mums. We're free. To those burdened by worries and concerns, Jesus says, come to me and find rest. I spent many years at Christchurch Forward in Sheffield and have a similar relationship with there that Steve has with you guys. And when I go back to Sheffield, I try and meet up with an elderly couple who are in their 80s now, really faithful supporters of me personally and of the work. They're getting on in age now. Roy's heart is failing. He's in and out of hospital. The future is uncertain. And Eunice, who had a stroke a few years ago, is finding mobility increasingly difficult. And life for them is hard and unknown. There's so much that they could worry about. And yet when you meet them and talk to them, they just don't seem burdened. They seem thankful, joyful even. And as I chat to them, I always come away just very struck by their security, their certainty of their future rest with their Heavenly Father. And in Jesus, the Son they love, they have great hope. You see, verse 25, they have great confidence in the Lord of heaven and earth, the sovereign God that the Son has revealed to them. So remember that thing that stops you sleeping? The thing that's been on your mind today, perhaps, dare I say it, the thing that's on your mind even as I speak. Well, Jesus says, bring it to me. Because even in the midst of the darkest and toughest situation, I can put my head on the pillow at night, knowing that the outcome does not rest on my shoulders. The burden is not mine. And I entrust myself to the good, kind, caring, just and merciful Heavenly Father, whom I know through the Son. Come to me and I will give you rest. So whilst rest will be our perfect future experience, and it's primarily not about a break from work, I do wonder, just if you might allow me, a slight secondary implication of this passage for our work and rest now. I have no doubt the Beeston Free Church is full of busy people. No doubt at all. An article in the Evening Standard magazine asked people why they were so busy. And here's three of the answers, some of the main answers that people gave. Here's the first answer. Busy makes you feel smug. It makes you feel powerful and wanted. It makes you feel, in short, like a G8 leader popping out of an auditorium to tackle another world crisis. Busy is the cocaine of the 21st century. Here's the second thing the Evening Standard article talks about. I need to feel busy to feel good. And when I don't have busy, I feel lost. So I need to get even busier to feel good again. Here's the third thing. Being busy prevents you worrying about yourself. It allows you not to consider the big things, such as what is the purpose of life. If in Christ, we really are infinitely loved, valued, wanted. If in Christ, we really are freed from the burden of other people's expectations. If in Christ our purpose of life really is clear, then that should be reflected in our lives. And of course, sometimes work or home is just busy. But I just wonder how much of our work ethic and our busyness is motivated by the burden of needing to prove ourselves to others, or the burden of wanting to be seen as valuable and important. See, Christ sets us free from those burdens, and he invites us to rest. It's a wonderful invitation, yet surprisingly and sadly, it's an invitation not everyone will accept. See, at this passage, the heart of this passage is a stark warning, and we'd be foolish to gloss over it. See, in chapter 10, we read that Jesus has sent out the disciples, and they've seen many people repent and believe, but many haven't. Many people have turned down an invitation like this that is so good. Why? Well, look at verses 25 to 26 again. At this time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. See, as one commentator says, the contrast is between those who are self-sufficient and deem themselves wise and those who are dependent and love to be taught. See, the danger for some of us who've been Christians for a while is that we fail to see our need of Jesus. We slowly drift into putting our trust in our religiousness, our good behaviour, our Bible knowledge, our giving. And so consequently, we end up rejecting Jesus' invitation. The sobering truth of this passage is that those who see their burdens accept Jesus' invitation, coming to him like little children, dependent on him. But God has hidden himself from those who deem that they have no need of Jesus. And the consequence of that is that we will not enjoy, if that's us, the eternal rest of creation that we were made for. So tonight, do make sure that your confidence before your Heavenly Father is solely in your acceptance of Jesus' invitation. Because anything else will leave you perilously short before God. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. It's an invitation to the weary and burdened. It's an invitation to come to the Son. It's an invitation to rest. It's an invitation not everyone will expect. And finally, it's an invitation to be yoked to Christ. Verses 29 to 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I wonder if for some of us, verse 29 feels a little bit like the Domino's pizza ads. You've probably seen them. Feed a family for £5. And being a food lover, my eyes light up. Yes, we're there. And then I see the small print afterwards. Just in brackets, each. £5 each. And your heart sinks just a little bit. See, I think verse 29 can be a bit like that. You think, burdens lifted by Jesus, wonderful. But here's the catch. There's another burden we're now under. And the images of oxen yoked together pulling a heavy plough, it doesn't fill you with positive vibes, does it? Only look who you're yoked to. We are yoked to Christ, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. See, the yoke is light because Jesus has done the heavy lifting. He kept the law on our behalf. He has obeyed where we have failed. And therefore, the burden that Christ places upon us now is not to keep the law or to be good enough. The burden is to come to him, to trust him, to repent and to believe. That's the burden that Christ puts on us. And it's a yoke that is light. You know, when we fail, Jesus isn't some sort of drill sergeant who says, right, get down and give me 20 to make up for what you've done. No, Jesus is the gentle and humble servant who delights to see those who have been yoked to him, loving him and learning from him. And when we stumble, he gently picks us up, dusts us down, and continues to walk alongside us. See, if tonight you've just begun, or perhaps you've lost your joy as a Christian a long time ago, if obedience to Christ has become hard work, full of restrictions that stop you doing the fun stuff, if your Christian walk feels characterized by guilt, then perhaps you've just begun to lose sight of who it is you are yoked to. Perhaps you've hitched yourself to something or someone else. Perhaps you've started to slip back into trusting religion, not Jesus. The Son invites the weary and the burdened to rest in him and be yoked to him. It's an invitation that's too good to turn down, and it's an invitation that's too good to keep to ourselves. As I finish, Steve would have hated it if I had made the sermon about him in any way, and rightly so. And that's a mark of his character. But let me just say this. It's this invitation that Steve has faithfully held out over the past 7 years as he's worked with UCCF. And it's this invitation of rest for weary and burdened people that we should pray is held out to many more in the Rylands over the coming years. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful invitation. Father, we thank you that for those who accept this invitation, we have a wonderful future, eternal future in a new creation of perfect rest. Oh, Heavenly Father, would you help us to guard our hearts from trusting anything else, from placing our confidence in anything else. Father, please help us as weary and burdened people to come to you and enjoy rest. And we pray this in the precious name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's respond to what we've heard by affirming our confidence and our rest in God and in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing together as a response to God.